Your world, your challenges, your faith. When faith within engages the world without, there's power. It's living life from the inside out.
An overwhelming percentage of Americans say they want to grow spiritually, but what does that mean? And how can people who love Jesus connect our spiritually hungry neighbors with the great good news of God? Well, we're going to talk about that here today on Family Life's Inside Out. I'm Martha Manikas Foster, and my guest is Savannah Kimberlin. She's Associate Vice President of Church Engagement with the Barna Group. As many of you know, Barna's been researching faith in America for over three decades. Welcome, Savannah, to Inside Out.
Hello. Thank you so much for inviting me to join you today. I'm really looking forward to this conversation.
Well, Savannah, I find the research from Barna intriguing. Barna's research reports that well over 70% of Americans across the board, we're talking boomers, Gen X, millennials, Gen Z, over 70% say they would like to grow spiritually. And Christians probably interpret that a certain way. So could you tell us what people are open to? What does growing spiritually mean to the people responding in this study?
Yes, well, I think that's a great place to start. We need to keep in mind as Christians today, listening to this data, that when over 7 in 10 people say they want to grow spiritually, they are not necessarily saying, hey, I want to meet Jesus. Hey, I want to become a Christian. Mm-hmm. They are more so considering spirituality through the lens of, I want my life to be more full. I want to find purpose. Mm-hmm. I want happiness. I want things like peace. We actually found in our research that inner peace is incredibly important to Christians and non-Christians alike, and it is something that is very appealing to people that say that they have no faith. And so when people are saying, I want to grow spiritually, it's, hey, I want to find inner peace. I want to find meaning in life. And I'm pretty sure that there's a supernatural dimension to the world around us. And so perhaps the way that I can find inner peace is by looking towards that supernatural dimension that seems foggy, it seems far away. I'm not entirely sure what it is or where it is, but there's more to life and I want to lean into that.
So am I hearing that you're saying that it's a rejection of the purely scientific way, that it's really only the scientifically proven that is worthwhile? I think I'm hearing people say, wait a minute, no, I reject that.
Yeah, so you actually would probably be very surprised to learn that very few people today, it's a very low percentage of the population, self-identify as atheist or agnostic. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about those types of people. We're talking about the percentage of Americans that have opted out of religion altogether. They just say, no, I'm neutral. I don't have any faith. And just because someone says, I don't have any faith, or they would self-identify as none, does not mean that they don't believe that there are supernatural or spiritual forces at work in the world around us. It's this fascinating neutrality that is paired with an openness. Mm-hmm. And those people are growing to be more common and common. That is a growing proportion of the U.S. population today.
Fascinating. Well, let me just take a moment to welcome those who are just starting to listen. If you are just joining us, you're listening to Inside Out on Family Life. I'm talking today with Savannah Kimberlin, Associate Vice President of Church Engagement with the Barna Group. Now, Savannah, as Christians, we believe we know the answer to spiritual hunger. We have that answer. Does this research, or maybe previous Barna research, give a sense of practical ways that Christians might share Jesus with the spiritually hungry around us? And might this be different from how Christians have shared the love of Jesus and his love for us in the past?
Yes, the way that we need to share the love of Jesus today is very different than how he has been shared in the past, because culture today is different than what it has been in the past. So I think just maybe as a point of self-reflection for us today, if we are still using the evangelism methods or have the evangelism mindsets today that we did, say, 15, 20 years ago, you're a little bit behind. So some important things today, just a few things we found in the research. Number one, we know that many people today, especially those who would self-identify as spiritually open, but they're not a Christian, they care very deeply about knowing and seeing and being taught that Christianity the teachings of Jesus, the Bible, etc., Christianity is not only true, but that it is also good.
Mm.
Whereas evangelism tactics of the past have leaned very heavily into the truth of Scripture, and I'm not saying neglect that by any means, the truth of our religion, but what does it look like to pair that concept of truth with the concept of goodness, to show people that Christianity is good, that Christianity promotes goodness in the world, that Christianity is just, and it is loving, and it is kind, and it cares for the downtrodden, mm-hmm. right? It teaches us to care for those who are marginalized, that Christianity is good. It promotes peace in our lives and in our communities.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the types of conversations that are very appealing to spiritually open non-Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, I would say it is important to listen.
Mm.
And we're using the phrase gradual evangelism, gradual relational evangelism even,
mm-hmm.
as a way to describe modern day evangelism tactics, where quickly bringing someone to a point of decision is not going to be an effective method for the vast majority of spiritually open non-Christians today. We are talking about a group of people who want to be given the gift of time to process their doubts, to process what they believe in a safe relationship, to have someone that will listen to their stories before offering up stories of their own.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is recommendation number two for how to share Jesus with others is okay. to go slow and be willing to be patient.
Mm-hmm. So I think I hear you saying that if there were evangelism techniques that people had learned and memorized with all earnestness and sincerity, that they don't fit today, not because they haven't been good or they haven't been true, but they don't meet the questions that people around them have right now. The people around us right now are not looking for a story about how there's a Jesus-size hole in our heart waiting for Christ to come into that. They're looking for how does God fit into the entire world and about there being goodness that comes with it, not just solving my own personal problem? Or am I overstating what you're saying?
No, I would say that's exactly right. We cannot assume that these people have a Jesus-sized hole in their heart, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think absolutely. That's a phrase that I have heard a lot from the pulpit in various churches. These people have a Jesus-sized hole in their heart. No, they are curious. They want to grow. They believe that there's a supernatural dimension in life. But if they were to hear us say that phrase, they might think, oh, you're jumping to conclusions too quickly,
mm-hmm.
right? And they would say, give me time and space to explore. Whereas I think we know as believers, we believe that the Bible is true. And we know that if they take this journey, we wholeheartedly believe that they're going to end up at the feet of Jesus,
right?
You know, absolutely, that's what we hope for and what we're praying for and what we believe to be true. However, we need to let them take their journey, which is going to have many twists and turns, and we need to be willing to walk alongside them, patiently listening, exploring spirituality at large before we narrow our focus specifically to the teachings and the person of Jesus.
Mm-hmm. I hear you. And even though I may still believe they do have the need for Jesus, right? I believe that. And I believe that there is a Jesus-sized hole in their heart. This
mm-hmm.
is not language that is going to connect to them, understand, or keep them talking to me about it, right? So it's about the evolving understanding of how to present the same truth, but how to present that. And also, it's a real commitment, a one-on-one walking beside people, real friendship, not project, if I understand
yeah,
you right.
That's exactly right. But I think you would be quite surprised how many people are looking for that and open to that relationship. And we are like, oh gosh, it's such a big commitment, but it's just friendship. It's
mm-hmm.
just relationship because these conversations are happening organically and naturally around dinner tables.
Right.
It doesn't have to be some big thing that you prepare hours for in order to do a formal gospel presentation. It's just having conversations with people that care. They actually care very deeply about this stuff. You're not trying to convince them that they have a need or that there's this part of life that that they've never thought of before, and you're trying to go there in conversation. It's very natural because, you know, we see that the vast majority of people today still believe in God or a higher power. They are certain that there's a supernatural dimension that exists in life, right? So we're not trying to stretch people conversationally or relationally into a realm that feels uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. So if we're growing ourselves in our closeness with Jesus, with God, with the Trinity, if we're growing in that, it can't help but be a part of how we're having conversation with the people around us. And the hope, the prayer, is that it is going to show, and then the questions come and the observations come and the conversation builds, and we're sharing our lives, which are seasoned by Christ. Yes?
Absolutely. Okay. Yes, absolutely. And we know that in our data, it shows clearly, especially with younger generations, but also older generations of non-Christians as well. The most appealing quality in a Christian friend is that their actions speak louder than words.
Mm.
If your life does not line up with what comes out of your mouth, you are automatically disqualifying yourself from an evangelism relationship. Now, I will say, just as a caveat, we're not expecting perfection.
Yeah,
not
right,
what we're
right,
asking
right.
For. Right, but we're looking for authenticity. We're looking for repentance when needed, right? And we're looking for humility. And so if we want to step into these kinds of relationships where we are being salt and light and where we are facilitating spiritual conversations, we have to make sure that our actions speak louder than our words.
Mm. And it all comes to being rooted in Jesus, because, of course, if we are living a life that reflects Philippians 2 and the humility of Christ, then that is going to show. Well, fewer times be hypocritical and more times be humble. Yeah. Well, thank you. Mm. Thank you for the wisdom that you're passing along from the research. And thank you so much for taking time to talk with me today here on Inside
Out. Of course. It was a joy. Oh, thank you.
Thank you. My guest has been Savannah Kimberlin, Associate Vice President of Church Engagement with the Barna Group. You can learn more about the Barna Group and Barna's Rising Spiritual Openness in America research by going to barna.com. That's barna.com. I'm Martha Menikas Foster with Inside Out on Family Life.
Thank you for plugging into this Family Life News podcast, streaming issues-driven, family-focused news.